casting shadow till we reach the land of living beyond the crystal sea. And we are nothing more than just a passing shadow till we reach the land of living beyond the crystal sea.
Good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Kind of different this morning, but hopefully this will be the last week it'll be like this. And Lord willing, next week we should have everything in place. I'm excited about that. We do have our chairs. Our carpet did not come, but we do have our chairs and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Dear Father, we certainly love you. And God, I pray that you might meet with us this morning. God, thank you for the incredible amount of work that was done this week. And God, I pray that you might continue to be with our efforts, dear Father, and our work. But God, we ask you to do your work this morning in hearts and lives. God, that you might convict, that you might encourage, that you might save the lost. And God, that you just might meet with us and impart the truth to each heart and life here this morning. Do pray for Russell that went to the emergency room this morning and others that are not feeling well. God, that you might raise them up, but meet with us in this place today, be at our service tonight. Thank you for our missionary. I pray for him as he comes, but that you might bless the whole day in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all. Stand, turn to page 185. My Savior's Love. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4 of this one this morning. Page 185.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus and Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
On the last,
when with a ransoming glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Thank you. May be seated. Turn back to page number 66 at Calvary. And we'll sing 1, 3, and 4 of this one also this morning at Calvary.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace it brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God dispensed at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden saw found liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
Well, amen. How come none of you are sitting in the middle aisle, middle section? Because there is no middle section. Oh, okay. All right, good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And sorry for the inconvenience, but Lord willing, next week at this time, we should have everything laid. Our chairs came in, 270 chairs, got those unloaded there in the wing. Our carpet was supposed to come Friday, but did not come Friday. It's supposed to come on Tuesday. So Lord willing, if it gets here Tuesday, hopefully we still have a lot of work to do with the floor prep and finish. But Lord willing, get the carpet in, get the pews in, or the chairs in. And next week it should look a lot different. A lot of work was done this week. Last week we had Brother Korn. We had 7 saved. Praise the Lord for that. And then Brother Korn drove back down from Ponca on Monday. He said, the Lord put on my heart to help you guys. So he came back down, helped us, and then went home that night, and I appreciate that very, very much. But you can read what we got. We got all the carpet pulled up, all the tile pulled up. We took another 3,000 pounds to the dump. The pews were taken, moved to the back. A new ramp was put on over here that goes up to the wing. The platform, we sanded it and stained it. All we need to do is coat it with a clear coat now. We got the trim up there. Got these two trim pieces put there. A lot of work. Still a lot of work to be done. But we are so excited about what the Lord's going to do. And I apologize for the way it is now, but I promise you, hopefully come next week, be a lot different. So, but we do need some help tomorrow. We have to prepare the floor. We have to do it. We have to paint on a primer. And then Tuesday, I think it was, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow night, then we have to trowel the whole thing to get ready for the carpet. And Lord willing, the carpet will come on Tuesday. And so please pray for us about that. And if you can come and help, we would really appreciate that. Also, we'll have Brother Missionary Ty Campbell tonight. And it's amazing how God works. I believe God's in it all, I promise you. Even the chairs, if you look at a little sample like this, or even carpet, you're like, and you know, they don't know your lighting, and you don't, that is, we prayed, and we've asked God. And about the pulpit, the new pulpit and communion table, I prayed, and I called probably half a dozen people. And the last one I called, he said, well, yeah, it'd be about $7,000 to $10,000 just for the pulpit. And then about $3,000 for the communion table. And I'm like, okay, that's not going to happen. But Brother Campbell came, and he's in the area anyway. We had it in August. I can show you the text. In August, I scheduled him to be with us tonight, March 1st. And so he came with Brother Haley, Wednesday, I can't remember. But he, we were talking and everything, and he says, I do woodworking. I build pulpits. I mean, I can build pulpits. And I'm like, really? And so he can do it. And I said, well, would you be willing to? Well, shoot me some pictures of what you want. So I said, okay. So you can and you're willing to, but do you have the time to? And he says, well, I'm going to be here till Monday, so I'll work on it. I got Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we went and got the material, and the material was going to be less than $800. And he spent Thursday, Friday, and Saturday building our pulpit. Looks nice, doesn't it? Kind of looks like the old one. No, it is all built. We just have to stain it and paint it. But what a blessing. And he goes, I'm not gonna charge anything. We're gonna give him a good love offering and everything. But man, God knew. God knew when we needed him right at the moment. I'm glad I serve a wonderful God. Amen. I mean, praise the Lord. God is so, so good. And we've seen his hand all the way through the carpet, the chairs, everything. So I'm excited and what the Lord's going to do in our meetings in 2 weeks. Brother Davison will be here. Brother Stowe will be here. And then we'll have Brother Hanks on Tuesday morning with Brother Stowe. Then we will have the revival meeting continuing. Monday night's a preacher's meeting. I want you all to come. Tuesday night and Wednesday night is really our revival with Brother Davison. And, you know, he's not getting any younger. And he's still got it. But he's been a man of God for many, many years. But I appreciate you being here and looking forward to what the Lord has for us. And if you just be patient with us, a lot of work's been done, and we're excited about what the Lord has done and what he's going to do. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you. God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us. God, thank you for providing eternal salvation. God, thank you for the way you've put everything together. We try to put everything together. We think we know, but God, you're the one that we've asked and beg for your help, and God, you're the one that's put it all together. So I pray that you might bless our service today. Thank you for those that are in the church house, and I pray that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word all over our building this morning. Thank you for our missionary, Brother Ty, and the work that he's done this week, and I pray that you might bless him and his family as they go to the Netherlands. But be with our services today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Morton.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the adult Sunday school class. I got a few in here. They're not adults, but it's all right since their class was here. Anyway, have you noticed the acoustics in here? It almost feels like it's hollow. I can hear myself come back. I think it may be my hearing aids. You know, maybe I need to take them out today. I'm not sure, but the acoustics are different. Anyway, we're going to be looking in the Gospel of Luke today, and we're looking at the temptation. We looked at that last week, and we're going to be, first of all, one of the things is I was studying through this and everything. This particular part of the Bible has been written with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and all three of them, three Gospels, synoptic Gospels, we call them, they talk about the temptation. I think it was last week that I pointed out in Luke, he's got the smallest amount of information about the temptation. He says, in Mark chapter 1 and verse 12 here, it says, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him." That's all he talks about of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Matthew has more to say about it. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. They're kind of together on this. It says in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, it says, "And when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, when he had fasted 40 days," giving a little bit more information, "he had fasted for 40 days and nights and was found afterward a hungered." 40 days, I think I would be hungry too. One thing, as I did look at that, and you think, who else went up into a mountain and was there 40 days? Moses. And he didn't eat during that time. And so the 40-day fast sometimes is mentioned several times in the Word of God. But anyway, 40 days. And when he was, the Bible says in verse 3, "And when he was tempted, when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We talked about that last week. That's the first temptation. And this temptation he gave to him at his weakest point, humanly speaking. But he's not a human. He's just not man. He's also God. And so he was able to, and I think I mentioned it last week, several things through this, that we find out that the Satan took advantage of his circumstances. He does the same thing for us. And in looking into the temptation, God has given it to us in his word here that we might be able to learn from it. Every one of us are tempted. The Bible tells us there's no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. That's the greatest part of that verse. God is faithful. As he was faithful to his son, he also is faithful to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, it says there, "But God, temptation taking you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." God has a way for us to escape, but we have to look to him. We have to come to him. And the Lord shows us here in this temptation what he does. He comes back with the scriptures. He comes back. He says, it's written. It's written in God's word, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And in the Old Testament, we can look in Deuteronomy, and it tells us there, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, that he provides for us. And that was talking about the manna, actually, when they were in the wilderness. Man thinks that they have to have the food that we prepare every day and we eat and that, but God will supply for us. there in the wilderness, the manna came, bread from heaven, and they didn't understand it. Matter of fact, the word manna actually means, what is it? And they didn't know what it was when it came down, and God showed them that they could eat it and use it, and it kept them healthy and took care of them. So God can supply our needs. Also, Satan, he tempts us, and in his temptations, are often the strongest, immediate, or stronger. His temptations are stronger immediately after sometimes we've had a victory. And so when we have a victory in our life, we need to remember Satan is going to be there. He's going to try to take that victory away from us. As the Lord had been here, he had ended his fast. He was going to end his fast. Satan appeared at that particular time. And he also, we are met with temptations, and Satan, as the Savior did, were to meet the temptation of Satan as Jesus did with the Scriptures. We looked at that last week, and we'll get back into the lesson today. And so as we're reading here in Matthew's Gospel, I'm reading here because I want to read Luke last, because you'll see a difference in a few minutes. I don't know if you've ever read both of these passages together. You'll find out there is a difference. And it says, man shall not live by bread alone. It says in verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into a holy place and set him on a pedestal, the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship, shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. And so that's the temptation recorded in the book of Matthew. Let's look at Luke. This is where we're at today. And of course, the Gospel of Luke says in chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when he had when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. So he was hungry, it tells us in this particular verse. And it says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. He's questioning him here, if you are the Son of God. Working on that human aspect of Jesus. And he says, command these stones, if you're the Son of God, command these stones and be made into bread. And Jesus said, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so again, we see the same thing we've seen in Matthew's Gospel, and that the devil came to him and tempted him to turn the bread into, you know. And the thing is about this temptation, Jesus could have done it. He could have turned the bread or made the stones into bread and had food to eat. You know, I found out, though, as I look in the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did, you know what's wrong with us, the auditorium today? We have no center section. All the sinners are everywhere. Anyway, so Yeah, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So sinners are everywhere. Normally, the people that are sinners are in the sinner section. But anyway, notice that. But anyway, yeah, where were we at? It says man should not live by bread alone. And so the devil tempts us when we're in a hunger and in this. And it goes on to say in verse 5, and the devil taketh him into the high mountain, showing unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. So here he's tempting him, giving him the whole world. We're going to look into this just a little bit longer, a little bit later after I get finished reading the whole thing here. Because you think, is that temptation real? Did he have that? I'm going to show you that Satan is in control today. All right. So so he said, if thou therefore wilt worship me. That's what Satan's main purpose is. We'll look at this a little bit more too. From the beginning, that's what Satan wanted, is the worship of man, worship somebody to worship him. We'll look at this in Isaiah and also in the book of Ezekiel. It talks about him. After that, it says in verse 8, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him into to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of Man, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. So there's a difference between Matthew and Luke. Anybody recognize what the difference is? Sounds almost the same, doesn't it? The difference is, in Luke's gospel, he takes in the second temptation is that he takes him to the mountain and show him the kingdoms of the world. In Matthew's gospel, that was the third temptation. In Luke's gospel, the third temptation in Luke's gospel is he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple and tries to convince him to cast himself down. And as much looking as I did on this to try to figure out why is it different between Matthew and Mark, and the difference is in the first and second and the third are different, are swapped around. And the thing that I came up with is we need to look at the Gospels and see what the Gospels are all about. Look into it and tried to figure out why is Matthew's a little different. Now, in the higher criticism, people that look at the Bible and try to find out things that don't look right or something like that, in the German high criticism, they show that this is the God's word. They try to prove that God's word's not true. But it actually has everything in it in both Gospels. The difference, I believe, is this. The Gospel of Matthew was written to show Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the book of Mark, the Gospel was written to show Jesus as a servant. And in the Gospel of Luke, it's written to show Jesus, the Son of Man, the perfect man. And as he lays this out, you see that in the first temptation, he is showing Jesus as a man in need of hunger and hunger. Knowing that that failed, he shows him then going up and taking him to a temple to see whether he is God. And that's the one, in the second one in Luke, he proves that he is God. He said he's not going to worship anybody else. He's not going to fall before him, and we're going to see why Satan was so insistent of him bowing down to him. And then, and the third one, he takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple and asks him to cast himself down. And in doing that, he shows himself the perfect man. Satan here comes. This is the only time the pinnacle situation where he tells him to cast him out. We find that Satan this time uses scripture on the Lord. He tries to tempt him in a way and say, "Oh, just you don't have to worry about anything. God's going to take care of you." And we're going to look at a few verses of scripture here this morning to show in the scriptures how that comes out. We're going to be looking here at the second temptation this morning, and this is found in verses 5 through 6. And it says again, "And the devil taketh him into the high mountain." He takes him there, and we looked at that in the book of Matthew, and it's the same thing, but it's the third temptation. And so, but he's showing him there as King of Kings, and as he does that in this particular portion of Scripture, he will show himself to be God in this Scriptures. And so, and one of the things is that a lot of people question, did Satan actually have the authority have the right to offer Christ these things? All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Was that a legitimate offer to him? Well, let's look let's start with John's Gospel, chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. Oh, that's the one I didn't mark. John's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 31. John 12, 31 says this. Back up to 30. "And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." He's talking about Satan there. He's going to be cast out. Let's look in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I thought I put a marker in that one too, but I didn't. But I know where Ephesians at. Okay, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is writing this, and he says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "You have the quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's how God works. How Satan works. It tells us here before, and we know in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, you have the quickened. That means who made alive. He made us alive through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, in times past, before you were made alive, he says, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. And you know, sometimes I think we need to think about what comes on over the television, over the air, what comes through the telephone, what comes through the internet, all these things. You know, some of the all those things were created that for a man's pleasure to be able to hear some things. And you know, I remember the olden days when we had radio and different things, and you could hear the gospel message on there. That's why the reason how they started out was given gospel in even the television, and some of these things were invented so people could see and hear the message of God using it correctly. But it doesn't take long for Satan being the prince and power of the air to change those things. It's just like the internet. Internet started out, it was a pretty good thing. It had Facebook, and you could meet and greet people and know what people are doing and all these things. But it doesn't take long for Satan to get in there and destroy those things. I mean, one of the big things that I at least see on TV on Fox News and different things that I watch, find out that there's a lot of people out there that are concerned about their kids and what they're doing on the internet and trying to control them. We're trying to control the owners of those things and make them put safety factors in there, but that's not where the safety factor is going to come from. It's going to have to be in the heart of the person. To what am I going to listen to? What am I looking for? And different things, because we need to realize the prince and power of the air is Satan, and he is alive and well today, and we need to realize that. And so Satan knew what he was doing in these temptations. And it was a legitimate offer when he offered to Christ here upon the mountain. And took him and he saw all the kingdoms of the world. And one author said there's a place that I read after was saying that there was a place in Jerusalem where you could go up on the mountain and you could see all the valleys and everything all around that place and see all the greatness of the earth and many things. And they think that that's the mountain or hill that Satan took him to. But he was giving him a legitimate offer. It was a legitimate offer. We can look also in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 4, verse, we have that one. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8, I think we just read that as we read through that. And it says, again, Satan taketh him up into exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And so Satan is the prince and power of the air, just as Jesus said there in John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 31, we just read a little bit ago. So that was legitimate. We can also look let's look at another one, John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 30 says this, hereafter I will talk much, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing, and hath nothing in me. And so here he's talking about the prince of this world. He's talking about Satan. In chapter 14 is Jesus had told him in chapter 13 that he's going to go away, and that the end of his life is here. And of course, chapter 14 begins that in his encouraging his disciples. He says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so he's telling, encouraging his saints in chapter 14 here. But there in that chapter 31, or verse 31, he tells them that the prince of the air, Satan is there and it's going to hinder him. And so, but anyway, and then also we have Revelation chapter 13. Let's look there at the book of Revelation and chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 7. And it says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwelled upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not written in the Book of Life of the Lamb. Of the Lamb is slain from the foundation of the world. So he's talking again about Satan. Now this is a little bit different time. Satan, as we know in Revelation, there's an event that takes place, and that is the rapture. We look in the book of Revelation chapter 3, talks about the church age and all the churches there. And after that church age ends in chapter 4, it says, after this I looked, and behold, the doors was open in heaven, and the voice of one which I heard as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And so this is the hereafter is after the church age. So Satan, in chapter 13 of Revelation here, is coming again, but he is still in charge of this world. The Lord hasn't come back yet, said he's put back down and destroy him, or the millennial reign has not begun at that time. So anyway, those are some places that show us that the devil did was offering the Lord Jesus here something that he had possession of at the time. But then we need to look at Satan's motive. What was his motive? His whole motive in this temptation was, if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. What he was doing was asking him to worship him. And Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, tells us a little bit more about Satan. And it tells us here, and it says in verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which doest weaken just weaken the nations? He says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mountain and the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be likened unto the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to the to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that hath the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, and made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, and opened not the house of the prisoners? And so he's talking here about Satan, and what Satan's goal was actually when he was Lucifer, as the cherubim that he was, And we find out the creation of God created Lucifer. He created him. And we can find out in Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, I'm not going to read all these verses, about from 11 through about 19, it talks about him. It says, but in verse 14, it says, thou art the anointed cherubim, covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mount of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways the day, and thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. So that's the fall of Satan, and that's who he was. And his desire was to be worshipped. He wanted to be worshipped like God, and this was an attempt here as he took the Lord Jesus up to the mountain, and we see that the Lord knows exactly how to handle him. God knows how to handle Satan. When we have problems, sometimes until he comes to us in those temptations, we don't know how to handle him. God did. The Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly. He said, get thou behind me, Satan. He's God. I believe he did that with power. And Satan probably trembled a little bit when those words came out of his mouth, because he knew what God could do to him. He knew that one day he's going to spend an eternity in hellfire, and all these things are going to happen. He said, get thou behind me, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve. I believe as Mark was writing about the servant, Christ being a servant. I mean, we look in the book of Mark and we find out Jesus served every way he possibly could. He served the people. He healed people, did all kinds of things. But here in Luke's gospel, we see him as the man, the conqueror. And he told Satan, get thou behind me. He says, for thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. God is the one that deserves our worship. It's not man and or anything like that. We need to realize that God's in heaven, and he wants us to worship him. He wants us to worship him. And so the Lord set Satan in his place here and told him. And after this, he brought him down to the temple into Jerusalem and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him one more time. He had to give it one more opportunity to test him. And so here, as he tests him, he tells him, he said, he took him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, it is written. He comes and tests him with the word of God. He's testing him with what God said. But we notice something in this temptation. The devil quotes, what he's going to quote here is Psalms 91, 11 and 12. Psalms 91, if you turn with me there to Psalms 91. Psalms 91, 11, and 12. This is what it says. Then we're going to look and see what Jesus said said to Satan. 91, 11, and 12. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. This is what God said. To keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. In other words, the angels were there, and they were going to take care of him. And so what Satan was trying to do was get the Lord to yield and just think, oh, I know, think, act without his Father's will. So there in John's Gospel, or Luke's Gospel, Satan gives a temptation. We just read it, what it says in Psalms 91, 11, and 12. This is what Satan says. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and they and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. That's not exactly what it said. And wasn't exactly what it said. That's what Satan does when he gets scripture. He twists it around. He doesn't give. If you think that scripture is coming to your mind, or you're dealing with a temptation that comes in your life, and all of a sudden that scripture doesn't quite sound right, it's because the devil is Satan is trying to tempt you to loosen up the scriptures or change it in some way. You know how, he tried this same temptation on Eve when in the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us when Satan came to Eve, he tempted her and said, I didn't mark it, but I'll get there. Fall of man. Here we go. Chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field than the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto him, again, he's tempting her with the word of God. Didn't God say you could eat? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now that's she quotes. I'm assuming Adam explained to her what God said, but he didn't. But that's not exactly what God said. And the serpent, in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth in the day that ye shall that ye eat, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he adds to it. He adds some things to it. And that's what Satan does. He does, and that's what he did in this particular scripture there in Luke's gospel. And he was telling the Lord that he's going to take care of you. All you have to do, God's going to take care of you. You know he's going to take care of you. Yeah, we know God is going to take care of us, but we need to know the scriptures, because Jesus said, answered him and said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, he already in the second temptation proved to him he was God. And he said, now in this temptation, now you're tempting God. And doesn't yield to the temptation. He doesn't yield to any of that. And the Bible says in verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And next week, we're going to look at some things in the scripture after this, where you can see the devil's still there, and he's still trying to tempt the Lord. He does it in many ways. He even gets his disciples to say something. Lord, you're not going to go to the cross. That's what Peter said. God said he was. He said, get thou behind me, Satan. When Peter said that, he knew who was tempting him. And so we need to realize that temptation is real in our lives. It's very important. Now, being tempted is not sin. It's when you yield to the temptation. So let's stop right there this morning, and we'll bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day. We ask, Lord, that you give us guidance and direction and service to come. I pray that you be with our pastor, Lord, as he comes and brings your word this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would be with each one of us, Lord, as we hear the word of God, that our ears might be open to hear your word. But, Lord, I pray that most of all, our hearts would be open to receive that word, that engrafted word that we can use in our lives, and that gives us guidance and direction to the things we need to do, and Lord, how we need to serve you. And Father, I pray that you just have your will and way now as we look to you for your glory and your praise. Father, I pray that you be lifted up this morning. We ask it all in thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we'll be started in about 10 minutes for the service. The pastor will be here. So if you need to rest, the time is the rest.